I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow podcast brought to you from New York this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know, I believe we all have a story to share, and by sharing those stories, we can help and inspire each other on our journeys through life. This season of the Good Glow podcast is brought to you with thanks to Promise Gluten Free. When it comes to leading a healthy lifestyle, nutritious food is a key part of my every single day. The Promise Gluten-Free range is high in fibre, low in fat, and absolutely delicious. You'll always find it in my kitchen, and I especially love the sourdough rustic seed. Better bread, that's a promise, so make sure to check it out. Welcome to the Good Glow podcast. I'm currently in New York. I'm looking out my window at the Empire State Building. How things can change over a couple of days. We are here on the trip of a lifetime with Team Good Glow. So last year, when myself and Jamie ran the New York Half Marathon, we said, wouldn't it be amazing if we could bring a group with us next year? And so we did. Here we are with 130 members of Team Good Glow. We have 97 people running in the New York Half tomorrow. And one by one, we are going to cross that finish line, because I have seen so much love, so much support, and so much friendship over the past couple of days that we are going to help each other cross that finish line. We've got lots of people that came alone, and I think they're so brave for stepping out of their comfort zone and taking on an incredible challenge like this. If you would like to join us next year, I'll leave a link in the show notes where you can sign up to our mailing list so you will get more information about the New York Half next year. Tricia Lewis is one of the people who I am constantly inspired by. She has so much energy, so much love to give, and so many nuggets of wisdom on this podcast. I couldn't believe this is the conversation that we had on the week of the New York Half, because it felt like I just felt so motivated after it, because every day we have the opportunity to begin again. Every day we have the opportunity to rewrite our story, to build a new world with new stories. And that's exactly what myself and Trish have done over the past 5 years. We have one thing in common. When we started to love ourselves, everything in our lives started to change. Trisha, over the last couple of weeks, has bravely shared her story even further with us. And she spoke about her gambling addiction. She spoke about it on The Late Late. And so many people have connected with her over the last couple of weeks, and she is saving lives. I will leave important phone numbers in the show notes. So we touch on that a little bit, and we also speak about her new chapter and her new beginnings. And speaking of new beginnings, her reset shows are just ahead of us. Sunday the 10th of April in Limerick, I'll be at that show speaking. Sunday the 30th of April, she'll be in Hotel Kilkenny, and then I'll be back again for Sunday the 21st of May in the Heritage Killinard. Thanks, Trish, for inviting me to speak at your shows. I'm so excited to meet all of her transformers. I have no doubt that it's going to be amazing. That's Trish's day of reset. So I'll get into the podcast now. I just wanted to say, maybe there's a reason you turned on this podcast today. Maybe it is time for you to turn the page on your next chapter. And if you are listening to this podcast as you're making your way through the streets of Manhattan, if you are on Team Good Glow and you've happened to tune in, keep going. I'm with you every step of the way. Tricia, I'm so excited to chat to you today. You are such a... you give people around you joy. So I am so happy to have you here on the Good Glow. And we had this beautiful morning together last month where we went for a swim. I have been into the water in the winter, but I hadn't done a head dip, and you encouraged me to just go for it. And I did. So thank you for that. How are you?
I am absolutely amazing. And I think that that morning was probably one of the nicest mornings so far this year. It was so random. And then I was like, why am I in the middle of a Dunleary ocean with Georgie Crawford? But let's just dip our heads. It was amazing. So life is very good. And it's simple, but it's good.
There's a number of things about that morning. Number one, you made me get into the scary side, the 40-foot side, which I'd never done before. And you encouraged me to dip my head. So you're a real motivator. Do you face every day like that? Like challenge yourself, push yourself outside your limits. Is that how you roll?
Yeah, it kind of is. And it could be in the simplest of things. It doesn't need to be, you know, the dip of the head in the ocean, like absolutely frozen. It depends on what mood I'm in and what decision I want to make. So if I wake up and I'm like highly motivated, I'm like, let's go swimming. Let's find Georgia Crawford. Let's go do all this. But then another day, my challenge could be, I'm really tired. I'm lethargic. I might be a little bit down. Let's drink 2 liters of water. And that could be my challenge. So I always, at every part of my day, try and upgrade it a little bit to be that a little bit harder. But it's all scalable, depending on what my mood is. But yeah, I like motivation. I like pushing myself to the limit.
Yeah, and you certainly do that. And you're so honest in everything that you share. And my God, you've been on such a journey. And that morning we sat in a coffee shop and you told me what was coming up for you and what you were going to share on The Late Late Show. And I watched the show along with, oh my God, it felt like everyone was watching that night just to see you speak about such a tough time. Now, we're not going to focus too much on that in this podcast, but just tell me a little bit about how you felt that night sharing your story.
So 2 weeks ago, I had the amazing opportunity to go on The Late Late Show and to tell kind of the second part of my story. So unfortunately for my history, I would have had an addiction to gambling. And I think even when I was telling you that morning, I was so scared. Because I was like, Georgie, I don't see anybody my gender, my age, like I feel so alone. But I knew by sharing my story that I wasn't alone. And I've learned that a long time ago with Instagram, that no matter how hard a road is, you can be guaranteed there's about maybe 1,000, but they're all invisible at the time you're going through it. So on The Late Late Show, I told my story and I explained how I'd spent a good decade of my life addicted to gambling. I was in casinos. And now that I can look back, and they always say hindsight is an amazing thing. For me, the issue was never the issue. Like, I always like, was I addicted to cards? Was I addicted to poker? Yes, I was. But there was a side of it that was kind of an underlying thing. I was incredibly lonely. I didn't like myself very much. I was struggling with a weight loss, with a weight gain journey my whole life. I always felt like I was that overweight person. But I think for the casino, for the first time in my life, I felt different. I felt like I had an identity, that I wasn't the overweight, smoking head chef. I was Trisha. I was the blackjack player. And people looked at me for my, let's say, skills, even though it was terrible at gambling. But I was a different person. But that led me down a very dark path. And it led me down a very difficult path. And the reason why I wanted to share it is because I knew it wasn't just me. Because I played with thousands of people, but yet I've heard nobody talk about it really. And so when I did share it, I did it on the hope that it might break the stigma or the taboo or somehow get a better regulation in. Like, this week is a huge week for gambling. And I hate even saying it because I often worry, is there someone listening and this could trigger them. But like, Cheltenham is on this week and it's a really, really big, big event. And it's everywhere. I've seen an article where there was a father and a daughter and it was like the younger generation picking the winners. Someone messaged me yesterday, it was on a big screen in a secondary school yesterday, that they were doing kind of a lottery. Like, it's such a normalized thing as to back a horse, but it's not a normal thing to talk about a gambling addiction. So the middle part is missing. You know, that it's like, this is what happens. The people bet, but no one is talking about the aftermath, the epidemic that comes after it and the lives that are ruined. And today alone, somebody's mortgage is going to be gambled. Somebody's food for the week is going to be gambled. But we don't talk about it. But yes, it's glamorized and it's like, yay, win, vibe. And whenever you listen, it's all buzzwords. And I think that's why I wanted to share it, because it's part of my truth. And I remember I chatting to you yesterday. I was like, I don't want it to be totally about that because it isn't my identity anymore. Nor is my weight loss journey. I figured out along the way that I kept putting these masks on and this is who you are now. And I'm actually just Trish. Sometimes I like to sea swim. Sometimes I struggle to drink water. I have a pest that I leave it there. But it's a good one to look back and go, this happened to me. And if you want to come away from it and get a new beginning and take a second chance, you can do it. Like, all of my 20s, I was riddled in a serious debt, like a mortgage. But I couldn't tell anyone because no one understood. And I couldn't find someone I related to that I was like, I'm never going to get out of it. But the truth is, you can. You just have to stop and ask for help, because you can't do it yourself, because you'll convince yourself to do it. Then the next morning you'll go, oh no, that was silly. That was just me playing a game.
Mm. And that's the thing as well. It's like I'm getting served. I've never placed a bet on anything in my life, and I'm getting served all of these ads for Cheltenham.
They're not for you.
Well, who are they for?
So those ads aren't for you. They're for to hook people in that are addicted or an addictive style of personality. Like, you've never placed a bet in your life. Probably won't either, Georgie. But the problem with addiction is it can be in any form, and it's for people who have addictive style personalities and who can take things to the extreme. So those ads might be popping up for you, but they're waiting to hook the person who has either recovered from gambling to get them back in, or someone younger and kind of has that style personality but has never explored it. Like things like Bitcoin, buying tokens on games, online shopping, all of these are the new styles and the new target marketing. So that's why when people are like, oh, I've never been a bet in your life, it's the person sitting home with a pain in their stomach going, I don't want to do it, but it's just, it's like autopilot. Those ads will hook you in. And it's, I just think it's so scary that it's served when people are driving kids to school. Because there could be a five-year-old in the back that obviously has never been in a bookie office in their life, but they will be. It's planting a seed that will eventually grow if you have the addictive style personality.
Oh my God, Trish, it's such an insight. And you went on the Late Late, you shared your story. One of the videos on Instagram has 500,000 views. So you are reaching people, which is so incredible, because you want that, right? When you share your story, to connect with people, and even people you may never hear from, you have had an impact on them. But all of your followers wanted to know, you know, what was the experience like behind the scenes? How were you feeling? How were you? Did you feel safe in that moment? Like, what did you do when you came off the stage?
Like, it was incredible. And I think that it was one of the hardest stories to tell. And obviously, I've been online sharing my story, telling everything except for that part, because I never felt safe. So then for some reason, it came over me and I was like, you know what? I'm not embarrassed anymore. I'm going to say it. So I was walking along Dublin one night, and I was after doing kind of work for the weekend, and I was like, I'm ready. So I shared it, and I think people were like, sorry? I was like, so normally you do your, like, I'm showing recipes at a workout, and then I'm like, I'm a gambler. People are like, did that just happen? And I was like, I'm ready to share it. And I remember when the Late Late contacted me, I was like, you know what? It's probably the scariest platform to do it on, but I felt like it was the safest, because they treated the whole thing with such respect, such care. And it wasn't even to look after me. They were forward thinking about who was listening. And I just think from the moment I arrived to the studio, and like, I had my six sisters, my mother, the dressing rooms are really small. I think the producers were like, ew, what's going on with this family? Because we were all in there. We're like, it's class. It's got a shower. Mom, like, it was amazing. And then I told my story. And like, with the minute I was talking to Ryan, it just felt like I was having a chat with somebody in a coffee shop. It felt like, it didn't feel like live television, because I think that they treated the story with respect. So when I got off the stage, like, there's obviously people there afterwards, and they triple check. They could triple check even on Monday. Was I okay? Do you know, and I just think it was a really, really wonderful experience. And I think that everybody wanted to know, what's it really like? The answer is, it's as class as you'd believe. It's the biggest flex ever. I'm like, yeah, two times Late Late Show. Yeah.
Oh, it was so good to see you, and you were absolutely amazing, and you could really see the friendship between yourself and Ryan Tuberty, which was lovely. When we sat in that coffee shop in Sandy Mount, and we'll have to arrange a sea swim if anyone wants to come down and join us next time, but you told me about, this is really important for me to get across on my podcast, is that there's always a before and after, and you can start again. You know, you can start again 5 million times. Yeah. You can start again every single day if you choose. So tell me about the time when your old life and your new life collided one day on the side of a mountain.
So I think that how I'm still going is, whenever I would start something before, I just wanted perfection, and that's it. And then when it would go wrong, I was able to kind of go, well, you shouldn't have even tried, because you are X, Y, Z, you're useless, you're, you know, and you kind of start beating yourself up. But along the kind of journey, I was like, I'm enjoying this too much to give up. And I always think of the phrase, one day you will thank yourself for not giving up. You'll turn around, you go, all those hard times were worth it for this exact moment. You feel great. And what I kind of base my whole journey on is resetting. Is some days it goes great, other days it goes crap, but we just reset. It's like turning the television on and off, just start again and we'll go with it. So I've been doing this the whole time, and you know, sometimes you kind of look for a reason and you look for a moment and you're like, oh, that's why. And for me, I did Killarney. I did Quest, which I know Jamie did. And what an experience. Like, I started this journey off at 27 stone, not wanting to be on this earth. I was very, very down. Just couldn't see a future for myself. To then find myself registering for something that was like 27 kilometers around the side of Killarney, where I was doing a bike, a run, kayak. I hadn't been on a kayak in 20 years. And the last time I was on it, I was literally called a hazard because I couldn't stay in it. And I was like, okay, we'll just get it done. And a bike and a run again. And I was riddled in nerves because I was like, I have a bigger body. I was like, oh, why do people look at me? And I was trying to find reasons not to do it and not to enjoy it. So I landed down to Killarney and I was like, what is going on with the traffic? Like, how many people are doing Quest? And I was like, whoa. And like, all of a sudden, bang into the side of the face, I got a smack of my old life, knowing that no one knew my past. A weekend that is always on in September had been moved to October. I assume something to do with the pandemic. And it was a week that I took annual leave every single year. And as I was registering in the hotel, in the very next room, the Irish Poker Open was on. So I was like, oh my God, what's happening? So I was like, I can either go in to play the poker or I can go on a bike, go in to play the poker. And it was this moment where I was like, I can go left or right here. And no one knows. No one knows that I have a gambling addiction. So what can I do? And I remember I just got on that bike and I just took like a bat out of hell. I'd say, whatever, like, that lady needs to calm down. And I went up the side of the mountain, jogged up it, was horrendous, out of breath. And I came back over the finish line 20 minutes earlier than I had done the week before when I'd done the trial run. And I just remember the whole time going up and going, this is a race I can win. The other one I can't. I can never, ever win inside in the hotel, but I can outside it. And I remember when I crossed in that finish line, all of my family were there and it surprised me. And I was turning in and I was like, why the hell is my nephew Luke here? And as I turned in, my mother just gave me a hug and she said, come on, let's get away from this dirty place and we'll go and we'll get lunch somewhere else. Because she knew what I'd been through and she'd seen the signs. But for me, it was a sign to keep on cycling and I did it. And I remember coming across, anyone who wants to do these kind of things, I think that we will put ourselves first or last. And you'll be like, oh no, I won't bother doing that because I'm not like X, Y, and Z. I came second last in that race. But in fact, I came first in my own race because I beat myself. It doesn't matter. Like, nature doesn't judge your size. The outdoors doesn't see what bra size or pen size you are. It just makes a little bit of space to you and away you go and it gives to you. So I think we take ourselves back from it too much. I think nature is one of those things. And I know, even when I'm saying it, if Trish from 10 years ago could hear it, they'd be like, are you all right, girl? But for me, when I go outside, it's like a washing machine for my thoughts. I'm able to just hand them back and I get lovely fresh air and I feel good. And I think that's why with those challenges, people push themselves, go for it, chance it. You don't need to beat anyone else. You just need to go at your own pace. And I always remember in my scenario, what kept me going was finish lines, not finish times. Just go at your own pace. And I loved it. It was the best day of my life.
Oh my God, Trish. And I need, okay, so many moments there. So the first was, Nate, the outdoors gives to you, doesn't take from you, which is just so incredible. And second of all, I'm going to the New York Half Marathon on Sunday when this podcast is out. And there's been so many times this week that I've been freaking myself out about it. I know I'm not going to finish as fast as I wanted to. But it's not about that. It's about, so for 33 years, I counted myself out of doing things because I was so afraid of failure. But actually, when you just get on your bike or get outside, no one is judging you. You'll be so proud of yourself when you actually take the chance and do something.
It's insane. Like if, even if you doubt yourself to do the marathon, and that's normal. Like, but think about it. What's the feeling you're going to get at the end? Or what's the feeling you're going to get at that exact same time sitting on your couch at home? Go out and go for it. And just, I think once you put one foot in front of the other, it becomes easier. But I know it's very overwhelming for anyone to listen and be like, yeah, but I can't even get out of bed. And I get that. I've been there and I understand what that is like. But what I would say to anybody is you can upgrade your day at any moment. You can say, no, 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 I deserve more than this. It doesn't need to be a half marathon. It doesn't need to be a Quest. You can promise yourself 10. Put on your runners, walk 10 minutes from your front door, and walk back, and you have a 20-minute walk done. That's a win. That's literally you going, boom. But I think what happens is we compare ourselves to old times, new times, Jamie's time, whoever's going with you, and you're just robbing yourself of any bit of joy, and just no one actually cares how long you do it in. they just want to see, they're like, oh my God, she's in New York for a half marathon. That's class. And it's all about kind of just being, pushing yourself first at all times. And I think that when it comes to fitness and health, a lot of times people might still ask the question, are you not frustrated that you're not, you know, say smaller by now? But I think people look at the wrong thing. They're looking at kind of what shape and size somebody is, but it's not actually looking at how happy they are. And I think that I can get probably down a lot of weight very, very quickly. But for me, I've done that before. It is not sustainable and I'm never happy at the end. I've often lost 5 stone in 6 months and I've gained back 8 in 9 months. I've done that yo-yo thing and I cannot do this anymore. I'm doing it slowly but surely and I'm having the best crack with it because I'm not saying I'm going to be happy when I'm this size. I'm happy right now. I can do it right now. I'll get up in the morning, I'll go to the gym and I will do my very best. And that's what works for me. And I think that with the online and with social media, it can be so easy to compare yourself and for you to even have that extra pressure, Georgie, because so many other people know you're doing it and they're like, what you do then? What time? And you're like, oh, because in your head, you think already, I'm going to do it slower and you consider it a failure. When it's not. People don't care, Georgie, you know that. People are just going to be like, class, good woman. Whereas for me, with social media and pressure, it's all about, you know, when people go online, they're like, oh, this one's doing this, this one's doing that. Forget about all of that. Kind of decide, like building a recipe. Take little ingredients from each person and make your own dish. Because not everybody can do what I do. Not everybody can do what you do. And it's just all about stopping and going, do I want to be happy? Do I want to be healthy? Listen, all these people are saying these things work. Will we just chance it? All the people you've had in your podcast, often before I'd be like, they're absolute lunatics. What's going on? Whereas in fact, they were always right. Like I still, after the Mel Robbins podcast, high five myself in the mirror. I love it. And it's incredible. And it's all about, I just think that health and fitness is the least judgmental space I've ever been in my entire life. It's the safest place I've ever been. And it's the place I can be myself.
Yeah. And you can't build a new world with old stories. Become who you want to be today. Who yes. am I today? And that's how I changed. Because I had told myself that I was, you know, unfit, not good enough for my entire life. But when I started to love myself and put the love into myself, and it was one little choice at a time. What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to do today to nourish my mind? And all of those little tiny steps that you make lead to huge overall change when you put them all together. So Trish, one thing that I wanted to ask you is, like, how did you get out? How did you start? This is really interesting, right? Because something you said at the start there that I learned when I was training to become a health coach was treat the cause, not the symptom. So the symptom was your gambling.
Yeah.
What was the cause of that? And you touched on that and you said you were lonely and you found acceptance in the casino. But like, how did you transform into your new chapter? How did you turn the page? How did you get out?
I think for me, I think rock bottom, I got hit. I just didn't feel like a human anymore. I just felt like everywhere I went, it was my size went before who I actually was. So I felt like I had no identity. So maybe that was a little bit easier. I was able to kind of change my identity because I felt I didn't have any. But for me, it started from the very start. And it had to start with ownership and acceptance. And I had to leave things go. Like, I'm still single. I'm still all of the things before, but I'm able to manage my own company that little bit better. The biggest starting point for me was opening up and talking to people who I loved. Not to random people who don't have your best intentions at heart. It's the people who I actually truly respect and go to advice for, and explained that these things happened to me. Then all these things, well, then it would start off, I went to the gym. So after that conversation with my sister, say we joined the gym. The next step was actually I went into Aldi. I did a food shop. Then I bought a water bottle at Cummins Sports. And when I look back, it was literally step by step, I'm walking away from my older style habits of smoking, of getting, you know, a chicken wrap in the shop for lunch and not eating until 9 o'clock at night. And it just has to be on your terms. And I think I even to describe, like, I don't have any letters after my name with this kind of stuff, but I think it has to be on your terms. What do I enjoy and what do I want to do more of? And I think even simple things, you're not going to learn it all today. You're not going to do therapy. You're not going to learn boundaries. You're not going to learn macros. I still don't know them. I'm like, oh, whatever. But as you go along, you learn your way. And I think that's what I loved, that along the way, I'm like, no, I actually, that doesn't serve me anymore. Why do I feel weird when someone's coming at me with a negative story? Why do I feel weird when I watch the news? Because all my insights now, I just focus on nourishing myself with positive thoughts, positive food, positive movement. And it's all about adding new things and slowly eliminating the old habits. You can't get rid of them all in one go. You literally, because some of them keep popping up. They're like a pimple. You might think they're gone, they're back up again. You're like, hello, how are you? But we might just kind of push them back and they're not as strong the next time. Nearly like laser hair removal. This is a really bad kind of thing. But the more you kill the root, the slower it comes back. And then eventually it's gone. Because it's like, I'm not getting the attention that I need from her anymore. I'm going to go. And I think that the most vital thing you can do is surround yourself with people who want it more for you than you do yourself. People that see it, that can see your future self before you can see yourself. And that, you know, if you've somebody, you're like, oh, like often, like, oh, I'm starting out at the gym. Oh, Jesus, how long will that last? Anyone like that? Oh my God, you have to zone them out and you have to say, no, I need this for myself. And it doesn't have to be a weight loss journey. It can be anything. Any journey you want to go on. And I think that one of the most exciting things for me is to wake up every day and to say, right, I have my new habits. Let's put them into place. And what way will they be in a year's time? It's all about, I think, looking forward. Don't be borrowing anxiety from the past. Don't be stressed about the future. We have no clue. It's not coming. We have no idea. But today, what can I do? I can have my bottle of water. I can go for a walk. I can text someone. Like, simple things. I have a very boring life. People are like, you know, I always thought, like, if I had a 250,000 followers, I'd have a great, exciting life. And I have the most boring life in the world, and I love it. I live in the most idyllic part of the world. When it comes to, I think when you find true happiness, material things don't matter. When you have yourself, you're fine.
I'll get straight back to Trish, but I wanted to just thank Promise Gluten Free for supporting The Good Glow this season. It's loved in households all over the country. And here's what one of their happy customers had to say. Denise from Tipperary said, Promise Gluten Free has really changed my life. One of the hardest things when you find out you're celiac is finding a good quality bread that you can stick to eating every day. So once I found Promise Gluten Free, I find that it's a lot easier to live the lifestyle of a celiac. If you are looking for some gorgeous recipes and inspiration, head over to their social media page for lots of tasty recipes and ideas. You'll find them at Promise Gluten Free. Better bread. That's a promise. Yeah, something you said there about you have to get to know who you are. So I wrote this line in my book. I keep coming back to it. It was like I was talking about how I used to go on Exposé, right? And do entertainment snippets. And then when I'd come home, I'd cry watching it back because I was so insecure and I used to tear myself apart and say, the state of me, and oh my God, I said such a stupid thing and I look like an idiot, and like literally like used to tear myself apart. But I said that I would go out and I would go on that TV show and I had no confidence in who I was because I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
So I was going out and pretending to be this type of person. I had this mask on. So then when I went home, and I was watching it back, I was like, I had no sense of who I was, what I needed, anything. And I was literally, it was like I was going through my life blindfolded. Yeah. Because anytime there was an opportunity to have silence with myself, to spend time with myself, I turned my head the other way. I distracted myself. We used to have like wine on a Wednesday to get us to the weekend, living for our holidays, working ourselves to the bone. But when I stopped and I was like, hold on a second, who am I? I started to realize I actually like to exercise. I actually like being outside. I do like being cold from time to time and all of these things. And then I could step into my true self. But the key to it all is to get to know who you are first.
100%. And I think that like that, the symptom, the cause, all of this stuff that often before, like I think how to get, like we spend more time with ourselves than we do with anyone else. And yet I hadn't a clue who I was. I really didn't. And then anytime I felt uncomfortable, my reaction was to eat, was to push that feeling down, was to close. Like, and I think from going to therapy and from realizing that I do have a binge eating disorder, that that's what it was. It was, I would feel something and the easiest thing to do was go to a restaurant on my own, have a starter, a main course, a dessert, like two minerals, and push all those feelings down. So what I've learned in the last 12 months is to sit with them, because it's just a part of you that's afraid. It's your ego being like, don't forget me. Your new life is scaring me, but don't forget me, please keep me safe. And I think the constant reassurance that I honestly do to myself now is, I have you now, Trish. Don't worry about it. We don't need to do these reactions. And yes, there is days that I do struggle and I'm like, it would just be easier to leave it all off. But I know my new self, and my new self deserves better than what I did to my old self. But that doesn't mean that my old self was wrong either. I just didn't know. And I think that anyone who's sitting there and you're just, something pops up in your head and makes you feel kind of a little bit uneasy, sit with it. That is just your old self worried that you're going to forget about it. You need to go back, go, listen, I have it now. Let's move forward. We're going on a new journey. And when I started doing that, and when I started, you know, opening up to people, being like, listen, if I get too hungry, I'm so afraid that I'm just going to secretly eat two scones in the background. And when I said that out loud, my family were like, oh, grand, no matters. We'll go for lunch quicker. And then the fear, once you open up about your fears, I think it's so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
That people are like, okay, cool. We never knew that. Let's adapt to that. Jeez, you should have just said it to us. And I was like, okay, grand. Why do we leave 7 hours between meals? I get really hangry. I've got a system. We need to keep it going. That's just a simple thing that, you know, for me works by just saying it out loud and going, hey. And I always kind of do that kind of laugh afterwards. I'm like, so I might eat 4 scones. Hee. And then they know I'm being uncomfortable because they're like, you did that weird hee hee. I'm like, yeah, because I just want to say it out loud. And then they're like, you're grand. Let's move on. And I think when you say things out loud, people don't care. They actually, I think, respect you more. They're like, tell me more. What I find when I open up about anything about addiction or about my past or how I felt or moments where things might have been said to me, people are curious so they can be better. They're not curious to learn that skill from you to kind of mock someone else. They're curious to be more aware, to go, perfect, love this, no bothers. Like, I even see my sister Carol, like, and she will scream when she's listening to this song, because I told you she's a huge fan of you. We were coming back from Manchester and I could see her worried little head when I was getting on the plane, and I knew it. She was terrified I needed to get a seatbelt extension, and she was all worried that people would mock me. So from me explaining my past experiences, she was able to go forward thinking and go, do you need anything, Trish? So that's what anyone who's struggling, open up. Because all those people you talk to become your army. They become your allies, and they're kind of protecting you and kind of going, I can see something's going to happen. Let's see, can we prevent this? And that's what I find. Love your old self, love your new self, but absolutely adore your present self. Right now, you're the only one that's going to get you to forward to the next part. So you might as well do it with a smile on your face and do it with honesty.
Oh, I love that. I love that, because we just internalize everything, don't we? And then, you know, just saying it out loud can set yourself free and set everyone free around you. Trish, I think we spoke about this in Sandymount when I think we spoke about you being open to love.
Yes. So
I know you have so much love around you, and I mean like in a relationship sense.
Yes. And I think this is the first time in my life where I actually am happy with myself, that I truly, like, you know, we hear the thing, you can't help, like RuPaul, how can you love somebody else when you can't love yourself and all this kind of stuff. The truth is that it's so true. I couldn't stand myself for a long time. And now I actually do look in the mirror and I'm like, well, there we go. I absolutely love who I am right now. And I am ready to kind of move forward, hopefully, in the next chapter. And now it hasn't been very successful so far. I've had like 2 online encounters. One was like, oh, I think I know you. Are you the girl of Trisha's transformation? And I was like, oh, no. And then the second one was just creepy. So I was like, listen, I'll take creepy for the moment, but I'm not going to move forward. But I think that I know what I deserve. And I now know my values. And I now know what I bring to the table. That I'm ready to kind of go forward and be like, no, I am worth something. And I think that, oh, dating is scary, but dating in an overweight body is absolutely petrifying. But that isn't all I am. That's not my identity. I'm still Trish. You know, I think that hopefully, please God, in the future, that's on the cards for me. But I'm going to put in the group of the building blocks.
I love that. So thanks for sharing that. So now we are in this new phase of your life. We're coming into the summer. Also, speaking about love, I went to your house yesterday to drop you a microphone. Now, if you could have filmed my journey to your house, I was in your neighbor's house. Jamie was ringing your sister. I was just like, could I be any more of a Dublin person in the country right now?
I was so confused because my sister was like, I was like, who's asking you for my number? And she was like, Jamie Crawford. And I was like, no, that's his wife is giving me the microphone. who's looking for your number? She's like, no, Jamie Crawford. And I was like, Ellen, how do you know Jamie Crawford? She's like, oh, the running club. I was like, oh my God, why do all runners know each other? I was so confused. And then eventually you were like, I left that at Casey's house. I was like, okay. And you were like, their dog Alfie's fab. I was like, oh, this is all so confusing.
I know, you rang me and you were like, this could not be any more Irish.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry for disrupting the neighborhood. But the thing is when I was down there, I was like thinking about how much you've done. Like, you're from a small town, yet you have like over 200,000 people in your community now. Like, that's mind blowing. But also, if we're to find you a man, I don't know if you're going to find one around there, Trish.
No. And if it's all about getting out there and just, but hopefully by putting myself forward with online dating, even though I hate it, but I need to get over that kind of fear that I'm like, oh, they're all just going to judge me. And what if I look different in real life and all this? But it's all about, like, the opposite side of fear is faith. In the words of our friend Jerry Hussey, stop being frightened of it and just have faith in myself. Yeah.
But you continue to inspire us and surprise us. And there's just, you bring so much hope to the world. You're doing incredible work, Trish. And I know that you've got people around you that tell you that every day. But I wanted to say it to you that I am so inspired by you and just your ability to keep going. So tell us about your shows then.
So excited. And I can announce who my, one of my special guests will be you, Miss Georgie Crawford. It's called Trish's Day of Reset. So they're on Sundays. They are on the 16th of April in Limerick, the 30th of April in Kilkenny, the 21st of May in the Heritage in Laois. And it's just basically about a day of kind of resetting. What are the kind of values? What can we, steps can we put into place to kind of learn that kind of skill of not giving up on yourself? And the reason why I wanted to have you to talk is because you've gone through it. You've gone through the identity change, the restarting, the recession, like with everything in your journey, you've had roadblocks, but you keep pushing. And they're the type of people that I look up to. They will be on in those 3 dates. I have yourself. I have Laura Dowling, the fabulous pharmacist, who is going to be amazing. I will do a cooking demo with my background of 20 years of chefing, because I think that when you eat crap, you feel crap. When you think crap, you think you feel crap. All of these things are related. So I'm trying to get them all into one day for a Sunday from 10 to 3. And I think with Mother's Day around the corner, when I look at Irish mammies and stuff, that I'm like, if they had given themselves a chance and stopped giving so much to other people, would they be in a better position? Now, I see my mother now and she's still like, I will do everything for everyone, but I'll put myself last. And I'm like, man, you can only be your number one if you put yourself first. And she's like, I don't understand that, Trish, I'm 66. I'm like, grand. But it's all about kind of just, that's what I want to do. I want the day to be empowering, uplifting, and everybody to have a bite to eat, a Trisha branded water bottle, and away we go.
Sounds amazing. I'm so excited. And I didn't know Laura Dowling would be there. She's brilliant. So yeah, that's going to be really exciting. I can't wait for that, Trish. And let's go into just a quick fire round just to close it off. Thanks for your time today. You're absolutely just such a joy. Can you recommend a book to us? And you can recommend your own.
Well, no, I'm actually going to recommend Oprah's book. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, it's life changing.
Oh, but what I know for sure, absolutely loved it. She just has a way of describing things that is so normal.
I always put that in my ears when I'm doing a challenge, like, so I'll have it doing the half marathon, because she just gets me going. What is a song that you would put on if you feel like you need to hit the joy button?
My favorite song ever, because the first day I was driving to the gym, it kind of came on the radio and I was like, oh my God. And a week later, my sister sent it to me and I was like, that's the song that, come on, fight song. I think it's one of those songs that when you play it, you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to come out of this. You know, everybody's worried about me, all this kind of stuff. It's one of those motivated songs that I just love. I think it's Rachel Platten.
Okay, I'm going to put that on straight after this podcast. Where is your favorite place?
My favorite place in the entire world is home, with my family and everything. But outside of that, it's anywhere that there's water and there's sea and there's sound. And I just find it just calms me and brings me back to like my roots. And I think my favorite place I've been in Ireland by the sea is Marble Hill Beach in Donegal.
I feel like you're kind of feel like you're being held when you're near the water and that everything's going to be okay. So leave us with this, Trish. Do you have a favorite mantra?
If it is to be, it is up to me. And it's made up with 2-letter words. Short and sweet. There's no fluff to it. And if I want it, then I have to do it myself.
Wow, Trish, thank you so much. We'll leave it there.
Thank you so much, Georgie. And I think it's a pleasure to be even on something like this, because I know that the people who will come to me in my DMs after this are people who are positive, who are people who are wanting to be better. And I think all those kind of people who are listening to these kind of podcasts, you're on the right road. You press play on the right thing. Like if you're struggling or you're like, oh, how am I going to get habits into place? You've already done it by pressing play on this podcast. What's your next step? Let's keep asking yourself that question. What's my next move? It can be a glass of water. It can be a walk. It can be whatever it can be. But keep on moving after this.
Thank you so much, Trish. You know, as I was planning this episode, I didn't think it would necessarily go in the direction of challenging yourself and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. But it just did. And it just so happened to be the week of the New York Half Marathon. And I always feel like there's just no such thing as a coincidence. And it's so weird the way that happened. I was saying to Jamie on the flight over, was that a message you were supposed to hear today? Is a time to push yourself out of your comfort zone? Is a time for a new chapter, a new beginning? Maybe it is. Who knows? Maybe you'll be joining us in New York next year to run the half marathon. Let's see what happens next. I will leave a link in the episode show notes if you'd like to join our mailing list to hear more about New York next year. And I hope that planted a seed with you today about finding out what you're made of. I'll talk to you next week.